You're listening to the voice of your community, bringing social leaders together that make a difference. You're listening to Carl Wolfenden on Community.
Good morning, and welcome to me, Carl Wolfenden, over here on Business Class News. And you know, as you know, this is a new show that we've started. It's called Voice of the Community, and we're really excited about our next guest. I really am, because those that know me and have been listening to Linked AM, which is our other show that we have on Business Class News, you know, we've been talking about how businesses can really thrive and really connect with the community if they sort of focus on, you know, how to change things within a community, etc. And we had, I think last week we had a show where we were talking about homelessness and things like that. And you know, it's very, very important for business owners, executives, to understand that your customers are out there, but they have passions about various things. And if you can actually engage with that community and with those, then you know something, that you may actually find some new customers. So that's really the essence of what we're trying to do with our platform, community.net, and really build a story behind that. And today I've got a gentleman called Jim Elliott, and he's of course the founder and president of an organization called Dive Heart. And so welcome, Jim. Thanks for joining me on the show this morning.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity to share the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great story it is as well. So before we dive into sort of the business side of things, explain what Dive Heart is and how it started and what is the passion behind this.
Well, I my oldest daughter was born blind, and when she got to be about 10, 11 years old, she started being mainstreamed with sighted kids, and the sighted kids teased her on the playground. So she said, and she could read a 2-inch letter about a half an inch from her right eye. And she said, "Dad, you know, I can read, I'm not blind." So she threw down her cane and refused to learn Braille. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do with this kid?" So I got her involved in a downhill ski group. So in the mid 80s, when I was at WGN Radio, I started guiding and teaching blind skiers and continued that all the way up until about 2013. But started diving, actually. I was a journalism major in college, and I thought, you know, if I ever meet someone like Jacques Cousteau, I better know how to scuba dive. So I took diving just really as another arrow in my quiver as a journalist. And I'm thinking, you know, during the 80s while I'm skiing, I'm going, boy, this would be really cool to do in swimming pools and get people out of wheelchairs and get them in the water. So I really kind of brainstormed it back then. And then after a successful career in the media business, kids are grown and gone, I said I could keep making money or for the man, or I could, you know, go out and try this this diving thing at a nonprofit level the way I've been doing the skiing, and basically walked away from, you know, a successful career. And I don't draw a salary now. I donate all my training and come back to Dive Heart. But we're a 501c3. We incorporated in 2001. And we're all over the world. We've changed the dive industry. And it's really not about diving. It's about what I like to think. It's about taking the unrealized human potential that exists in people with disabilities and creating a paradigm shift. So now it's not Johnny in a wheelchair anymore. It's Johnny the scuba diver. And he goes, "Wow, if I can scuba dive, what else can I do?" And then we point them towards coral reef restoration, marine biology, oceanography, and try to make them good stewards of the environment. So that's what it's really about. We use zero gravity to do it.
Well, I'm reading a quote off your website. It says, "When I scuba dive, I feel freed from the body in which I otherwise feel trapped." And so just imagine that. I mean, what you're doing is giving these kids or these people, the experience of, as you say, zero gravity, and it must be a different experience. Is it different? I mean, I've scuba dived. I've snorkeled, but I've never scuba dived. I love being in the water because I come from England. You may have guessed with the accent, and all my listeners know that. We have a joke about my Texas accent that I have, but I'm from an island, so I used to live on the coast, so I used to love being on a boat, but I never scuba dive. But that experience is something different, isn't it?
It is. It's really the closest thing that, that humans can experience, you know, it's outside of being an astronaut. You know what I mean? Most of us won't have a chance to go to outer space. So we call them aquanauts, and we get in this environment that's much denser than the air we around us. And once we learn how to control our buoyancy, then really everything is done with the breath. So what I like to do, the thrill for me really, is to get somebody out of a wheelchair, have them stand up underwater and look down for the first time since their injury, perhaps. And they look down and they go, oh my God. And their body kind of shakes a little bit and goes, I'm standing up again.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, breathing underwater is number one. You got to wrap your head around that whole concept, because you're the first time people stick their face in the water and start to breathe off a scuba, it's like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm breathing in I'm underwater.
Yep.
So you get them neutral, and then they're independent. And we love to get them in a current so that they can really be independent. We don't have to hold on to them. We just kind of float with them and watch them do their thing. So it's really, really good for them physiologically and psychologically.
So you're based out in Chicago, but I heard you say that you've got, you know, locations around the world. So do you go out there and do it in the ocean, or do it in swimming pools? How does it work in terms of, you know, different programs you have?
Well, the heavy lifting that we do is in swimming pools. So we have teams around the U.S., and then we have teams in Malaysia and Borneo and other parts of the world. And yeah, the heavy lifting is really done in swimming pools, and it's pretty hard to get in trouble in a swimming pool. You can, but it's pretty safe. And so, you know, people that are listening, if they have loved ones with disabilities, they shouldn't be afraid to try scuba therapy, we call it. And but then what we do is we train instructors all over the world, and to give them the confidence that they need, we have a training program that requires thresholds of experience. So we'll get them out to Florida or Cozumel, Mexico, where it's not very expensive, and we'll get them in open water and give them the experiences on a trip with people with disabilities. So,
oh, so you actually do organized trips as well, then? That's great. Okay,
we do. Yeah, we do.
So
we have probably. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was going to say, we have probably about a dozen trips. We have, I think, four or five to Florida, to Key Largo. We have awesome Bend of Rainbow Reef down there. And then we go to Dive Paradise and Hotel Cozumel. And like I said, we love to dive in currents. So, and they're very good to us. I train the staff at both of those locations. So we like to go where we have experienced help as well.
So I was reading, you know, again, the background on this, and, you know, one of the things I think that nonprofits struggle with a lot of times is, you know, the operational costs, et cetera, and going out and trying to find funding and fundraisers, et cetera. And we've always said, because, again, like you, I was in the media business, and still am, I suppose. I'm on the radio. I was in the media business, but on the sponsorship side. So I used to go out and find, you know, large sponsors to sponsor programs, and I was a news anchor for a while, and I used to find my own sponsors for the show, etc. And then what we realized was that you can bring a business aligned with a nonprofit's goals and objectives, and that can be pretty powerful. And I read some of your story behind, you know, this interview, and you have the same philosophy, don't you? You went out and said, I want to find a partner that can help us grow. Can you explain more about how you did that and what your thoughts were behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that being a partner with a for-profit corporation, whether it's a law firm, and we have law firms that do pro bono work for us, and we have a car dealer that maintains our vehicles for free, it adds value to what they do, and I think it builds goodwill in the community. I'm a Rotarian. I've been a Lion, a Shriner, so I'm all about service. And whenever I go and start a program somewhere, like when I went to Malaysia, I'm in Kuala Lumpur, and I told the guy, I said, I'm going to come there, but I need you to set me up to present the Rotary Clubs and the Veterans Hospitals and the University Medical Centers. And we want this to be a community thing. So when I leave, it continues to grow and serve people in those communities, because in the world, one out of five people have a disability. And that's, you know, when you have family and friends and coworkers, it's probably about 60 to 70% of the population that, that knows somebody with a disability or is touched by somebody with a disability. So there's that's a big constituency. So that's a lot of customers if you're in a for-profit business potentially. And if like this month we have a full-page magazine story in Hinsdale Magazine here, and it's about our relationship with Bill Kay, who is a car dealer, has about 7 dealerships, and has really become a great partner. I mean, one of his dealerships, Dive Heart signs are all over the place, and it's great exposure for us. And we have a great pipeline where people, if they donate cars, we have an ability to flip them and turn it into program dollars. So it helps, you know, it helps us do our programs for kids or vets or others with disabilities. So yeah, we're all about partnerships.
Yeah, and I think you just said that, you know, in terms of individuals out there, they can help in other ways by spreading the word, by going out on social media and actually, you know, sharing stories and sharing your story. Because at the end of the day, it's best if somebody that says, hey, look at this great story. They go out and then they share the story to their network and friends. And because what we found is when we built community.net, it was really about, you know, that individual we found that had about 300 people in their own social sphere. And imagine if they just told their story, your story, once to their network, and then it exponentially just expands from there. And if you have business partnerships like you have with the dealership, you know, it definitely benefits them as well. So I love the fact that you bring business and the community together, because I think it's very, very important for sure. So tell us more about, you know, what are your plans and your growth things? What's the things for 2020 you're looking to achieve this year?
Well, we're hoping that this is going to be a real big year for us. One of the things that we found, we've been doing research with university medical centers for a number of years, and we found that if we get people deep enough, 3 atmospheres, which is 66 feet underwater, there's an extra output of serotonin in the human body. So we learned that from researchers at Johns Hopkins that went out with one of the teams we trained. We also know that if we get a kid with autism in the water, that it eliminates surface distractions and it helps with helps them focus. The ambient pressure is a kind of therapeutic for them. And we also know that if somebody has chronic pain for 10 or 15 years, again, if we get them deep enough, that they could be pain-free up to 3 weeks. PTSD symptoms, we know from the Hopkins study that 80% of PTSD symptoms are alleviated if you get someone deep enough. So for the last 10 years, we've been chasing this dream to replicate in a confined warm water environment what we've seen in open water. Because you always, you know, we've gone to places like Cozumel or Florida and the weather comes in and we get blown out and we never get in the water. So you need to have a place where you can get people deep enough, where it's safe, where you can have trained staff around them and stuff, and get some of these benefits of the hyperbaric pressure and things like that. Now, I'm not a therapist or a doctor, and my friends who are hyperbaric physicians, you know, and researchers, they go, be careful what you say about the benefits. But we know anecdotally what we've seen, and we've done studies with a lot of university medical centers now over the years. In fact, we're going to have our 11th International Adaptive Scuba Symposium on May 8th in Cozumel, Mexico. And we'll have researchers and professors from Northwestern University and Midwestern University, in Indiana State University, I think, as well, that'll be down there in Cozumel presenting. And so what we want to do, we started looking at a 40-foot pool until the Hopkins study came out. And then we said, well, God, we need a deeper pool. So the maximum depth for the sport of recreational scuba diving is 130 feet. So we're thinking, well, why don't we go to 130 feet? And then, of course, in 2015, while we're on this search to do this, we're looking for a gift of land, by the way, during this whole time, because I think that's a good way to start it, is have somebody step up in the community, a town or something, and go, hey, we're going to give you 5 acres or 10 acres. And then I just go out and raise some money for the building itself. But the last 2015, the Italians built a 137-foot pool, and now it's out there that in Poland they're going to build a 147-foot pool. So I don't know what we're going to end up at when we finally do ours, but it's, you know how it is. It's right. Everybody's, and I think they're going to build one in the UK that's going to be probably around 147 feet as well. Once you get below 130 feet, it's technical diving now. So we actually have a community in the Chicagoland area now near Great Lakes Naval Base where all our military Navy folks are trained up in SEALs and stuff like that, Navy corpsmen. And we have a community there that has talked to us seriously about giving us 10 acres. And we haven't crossed the T's or dotted the I's. We've come very close to doing it a few times in the western suburbs of Chicago because that's where we wanted to stay. And then last year I said, well, we're kind of burning daylight. Well, let's open this up to all of Illinois and beyond if we can't do it in Illinois. And I went to our U.S. Senator, Tammy Duckworth, and she's a double amputee. She's a Black Hawk helicopter pilot who was shot down, lost her right leg at the hip, left leg at the knee. And she was a diver prior to injuries. So back when she was the head of Department of Veterans Affairs, we got her in the water for the first time after her injury and stuff. So she's been a great fan of ours for a long time and is introducing us to folks. And hopefully we can encourage her and our governor in town, who knows about us as well, Pritzker, to get us in front of the right people. Because that's really what it's going to take once we get this land locked up. But we're hoping that that'll happen probably early spring, and then it'll just be going out and getting in front of the right people and raising money, doing a kind of a grassroots campaign, as well as trying to get in front of people with substantial means that can sponsor, you know, a significant portion of it.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, hey, we need to talk after this because maybe we can help as well with our community platform that we just launched and try and drum up some support for you. But it sounds like you've got an amazing, amazing organization, and I love what you do. And we're actually coming a little bit towards the end of our time on this, but I think I want to bring you back on to give us an update about that. Maybe in the fall, and then we can talk about how that process happened. But I really, really applaud you for all the things that you're doing, Jim, and you're doing some great work out there, and I wish you all the best in getting that 190 feet. I think that's the way you want to go. You want to go 190 feet.
Right.
Let's beat the Brits, and then I'm going to get some really funny emails now. But it sounds like that your plan, I mean, you've been going, as you say, since 2001, and you've had that amazing journey. So it sounds like you've got that plan to put that facility in place. And I wish you all the best on it.
Thank you.
Well, that was Jim Elliott, and he's of course the founder and president of Dive Heart, and what an amazing organization that is. You'll actually see more about that on Business Class News because we're going to be doing an article on Jim's organization, and also I'm going to make this decision right now. I'm going to actually create a community for Jim's fans so that we can get that momentum going, so we can get some support for that new organization. So guys, thanks for joining me on this on the show this morning. As always, as I say, you know, go out there, have some fun, but go and make a difference. Okay, see you later. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the voice of your community, bringing social leaders together that make a difference. You're listening to Carl Wolfenden on Community.